Alejandro is a miracle worker, crusade evangelist, got a ministry out. He's going to talk to us about that. Out of Orlando, Florida, nice place, nice part of the world. He's married to an Aussie, so he has seen the light, just as I did as well. And so we're so excited for what he's going to be bringing. He's going to be praying for the sick, preaching, and we're going to be doing a fire tunnel. So we've got a lot to go through. Everyone say it's a lot. Say, I'm ready. So it's going to be really good. The fire tunnel will be very, very quick, and it will literally just touch people on the head after the preach, and then he'll pray for the sick after that. So it's really, really good. So why don't we stand to our feet to welcome Alejandro as he comes to bring the word. Come on.
Praise God. Okay. Praise God. Amen. Well, so good to be here this afternoon. I know God's going to do amazing things. We have a lot to see this afternoon. God's going to move in a mighty way. I have no doubts about that. We have seen incredible miracles over the last few weeks, and I really believe God's going to move. It's so good to be back at the Field of Dreams. It's been a while. The last time I was here was in 2013, 10 years ago. But I've been in touch with, you know, Pastor Todd over the years. And it just hasn't worked out for me to come back. But we just became really good friends over the years, and we've always been in touch. And, you know, when you're with Pastor Todd, time just goes by like this. You get on the phone with him, and an hour goes by like this. And it's just amazing. My wife knows when I'm talking to Todd, because I'm like, yep, that's right, mate, yep. It's like almost an hour later. Are you still talking to Pastor Todd? Like, yeah, I'm still talking to him. But I don't know who's talking, doing most of the talk. I'm not going there. But he's a great guy. I love Pastor Todd and his family. And I was just, you know, it's amazing when you meet somebody that you haven't seen in 12 years. And I was just telling, I can't remember your name right now. Max. I was just telling Max, I met you at your house when you were like 6 years old. I'm like, I'm in my late 30s and you're already making me feel old. I can't believe that. It's amazing, isn't it? But I came here, we had just an incredible move of the Holy Spirit last time I was here. I don't know if we have anyone here who came to that meeting 10 or 12 years ago. One, there we go. You probably remember that, right? It was, there we go. We have some people there who came 12 years ago. Anyway, that was when I first came to Australia back in 2012. I moved to Australia. The Lord gave me an assignment to come here, and I spent a few years in Australia. My wife is from Perth originally, and we were based out of Melbourne. We were there for a couple of years. Then we had to move back to the States. The ministry obviously required us to be in the States because we do a lot of crusades in Africa, South America, and all of that. I'm going to show you a couple of videos of what we do. And, you know, I'm excited about tonight. I really believe God's going to move in a mighty way. Amen? But I just want to celebrate something. God is a God of Israel. And God is a God of His people. And I follow this guy, Amir Safarti, right? And this is what he just said. He just told me, this is what he told everybody in his Telegram group. 99% of the drones and missiles fired by Iran at Israel were intercepted by air defenses. Come on, somebody. Iran launched 170 drones, and not one of them entered Israeli airspace. They were all shut down outside of the country's borders by Israel and its allies. Israel launched 30 cruise missiles and not a single, sorry, Iran launched 30 cruise missiles and not a single one entered Israeli airspace. Iran fired 120 ballistic missiles at Israel. Some managed to bypass Israel's defenses, hitting some air bases in southern Israel and causing minor damage. A handful of drones and missiles were launched from Iraq and Yemen amid the attack, but none entered Israeli airspace. Come on, give God the glory for that. So, 4 a.m. this morning, you know, because I've been hearing about this ongoing situation, what's happening in Israel, And yesterday, as I was praying, I saw a vision, and I was taking the Spirit, and I saw an attack on the Holy Land. But I didn't want to say anything. I didn't post anything on social media. I just kept it to myself. I'm like, God, you will protect your people. I know you are the God of Israel. You are the God of the line of, you know, he is the Lion of Judah. He is a God of Israel. So anyway, I just, in my spirit, I kept that vision. I knew something was going to happen. And I went to bed last night. And then I woke up at like 4 a.m. And I'm waiting for something to happen because, you know, President Biden made an announcement that he was cutting his trip short. He was going to Delaware, but he decided to go back to the White House. Anyway, the whole story is that they were getting ready because Iran was launching an attack. You know? Anyway, the Lord spoke to me at 4 a.m. He said, go back to sleep. He said, Shabbat is not over. And I looked at the time in Jerusalem. It was like 9:30 p.m. And he said, Shabbat is not over. And while they're in Shabbat, nothing is going to happen. Go back to sleep. And a couple of hours later, I woke up, and my phone was buzzing with all of these updates and, you know, updates and my timeline on Facebook. And I'm sure you got a bunch of updates. But I just want to thank the Lord, because even though we are living in a prophetic time, and this is a critical time, God is going to fight for his people in Israel. You believe that? Now, I got to tell you this. We got to be biblically correct instead of politically correct. We got to be on the right side of history, meaning that we got to be standing with the people of Israel. We got to pray for them, and I really believe God is going to move in a mighty way, and also he's going to move with the underground church in Iran, which is one of the largest church networks in the world. Come on, somebody. God is going to move in this hour. So I'm not afraid to say that. God is moving in this hour. I've been preaching the gospel since I was 11 years old, so I've been doing this for 25 years. We actually have a celebration coming up in Melbourne this coming Friday. We'll be celebrating our 25th anniversary. Australia is like home away from home, you know? I love Australia, and I was so glad that Emily managed to sneak some Tim Tams in the room. She put some Tim Tams in my Airbnb, so that's like, that was a treat, and God bless you for that, you know? Anyway, my wife will not be very happy because I'm not supposed to have him, but anyway, you actually blessed me by, you know, I should have brought him home, but I will bring a pack home. You know, she's always asking for those and always asking for Milo. It's like a big request, you know? When I come to Australia, even my daughter, Carielle, who was born in Victoria, who she is so happy and proud to let everyone know I am from Australia with a big, thick American accent. Even though she was born here, she grew up in America, kind of, you know. But our daughter Celeste, I have two daughters, Celeste and Carielle. One of them is, 6 years old. She's going to be six in May, first week of May. And the other one is almost 11. But praise God, he's doing amazing things. I have a video to show you, and I'm just going to show you the footage. I'm not gonna play the sound, but I'll just show you the footage, and I'll tell you, this is the vision of what, you know, this is what God did in 2023. In 2023, we had six gospel crusades. We reached over 30,000 souls for Jesus. So 30,000 souls came into the kingdom as a result of those gospel crusades. What we are believing for in 2024, we're believing that we are going to see 100,000 souls in 2024. That's what we're believing for. We're going to double our gospel crusades. So we're going to have, instead of six, we're going to have 12 gospel crusades. We're believing for an amazing, mighty move of God in places like Madagascar, Fiji, even in Asia. We're really putting a lot of emphasis on this end times harvest. We believe God wants us to reach an end times harvest. How many of you know that we're living in a critical time, in a critical hour? So some of the footage you're going to see is from some of those crusades we had last year. We did crusades in Venezuela, Africa. We did crusades in other places. You know, God is moving in this hour. And it is important for us to understand that, embrace that. I know we're living in critical times, but we got to get excited because Jesus is moving his hand all over the world. Come on. Jesus is moving his hand all over the world. So, and you know, this morning when I was worshiping here with you all, I really felt in my spirit that this church is an ancient well. And God is going to reopen this ancient well. And as I was praying for the Field of Dreams, God spoke to me this morning. He said, tell him that I'm going to reopen the ancient well of revival that's buried in this land. Come on. So I'm standing in agreement for, and I have something to share with you. Australia, even though it's taking this path of, you know, being a secular, trying to be a secular nation. Australia is not a secular nation. Australia is the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Come on, shout hallelujah if you believe it. Australia is the great south land of the Holy Spirit. And God showed me that. There's a whole story about that. God showed me that in Lakeland, Florida in 2007, actually 2006, when they were having their revival meetings. How many of you watched those services online back in the days, you know, not back in the days, but you know, a couple of years ago? How many of you saw what God was doing in Lakeland, Florida? It was incredible, right? God was moving, great miracles, signs and wonders happening. And God showed me the map of Australia, and I literally saw these angels, you know, holding these elements and pouring these elements. And as these elements were blending, the fire of God fell on the map. And the map turned into fire. It was like a non-consuming fire. And then I saw pictures of different venues, stadiums, coliseums, gyms, places all across Australia. And God spoke to me and said, this is the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I believe it with all my heart that though things are not looking great, and though the world is going down this path, you know, in Australia is going down this path, and you're like really worried and concerned about what's going to happen in the next 10 years. Can I tell you something? We are going to see revival, the greatest awakening ever in the history of the world. And we are going to see great chaos and great hardship side by side. Yet the body of Christ is going to rise and shine in this hour. Come on, somebody, and praise the Lord. We are going to see chaos and awakening, right? Side by side, you're going to have chaos and awakening. You're going to have chaos. I mean, like you haven't seen before, and I'm sure some of you are familiar with, you know, what happened in those days after the war, you know. If you study history, you know that during every revival has been birthed out of a critical time in history. So I'm not afraid of a critical time in history, because I know that will catapult the church for a greater move of God. So whether we have a war in the Middle East tomorrow, and I mean, it looks like we may be coming into a season of a global conflict, but let me tell you something. I believe we're going to see the greatest awakening in the history of humanity. Joel chapter 2 verse 28 says, and my spirit will be poured upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Come on. This is the hour that we're about to go into. So I just want to encourage you that though things are not looking that great, you got to hold on to the dream that God has for you. You got to hold on to the destiny that God has given to this nation. You got to hold on to the prophetic word that God has given to the city of Adelaide. Come on, somebody. You got to hold on to every word that God's spoken over your family, over your children. Though things don't look that great at the moment, you know, you look around and you see what the world is going through. We're going through a major storm. But in the midst of that, Jesus will be glorified. You believe that? So I'm going to show you now. I'll show you two videos of two products that we have. And then I'm going to go straight into the word. Those, we're going to have to play the sound. One of them is my book, Boy Preacher, How the Lord Called Me at the Age of 11, My Story. Let's watch that. And that's real footage, by the way. That was my first preaching engagement when I was 11. The first picture you saw. That was my first crusade when I was 12. So you can obtain this book, you can order it today, and it will be here at the church next week. We didn't have time to ship them to be here this Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. So they're not available today, but you can order them. The box is actually on its way, so they'll be available next week. You'll be able to pick them up. So if you want to order it today, we have a form that you can fill out. This is another video, one of the products of my wife. She actually put a lot of time and energy writing this book. This is for young girls, for moms, and for daughters, granddaughters, if you want to bless your granddaughter. This is a really cool book. It's about 12 Bible princesses. Let's watch it. Awesome. So if you would like to order any of these books that we have, we also have two more. One is about the end times, Revelation Ready, and there's another one called Friends of His Presence, and it's basically about the anointing, my best sermons on the anointing. If you would like a form for you to like look at it, pray about it, you don't have to, but if you would like to grab a form and just, while we are doing the while we are in the service, if you want to fill it out quickly, turn it in at the end. Please raise your hand so we can give you a form. And if you would like to look into this, pray about, ordering some of these books. You will have them, as I said. You can pick them up to next week, even on Tuesday, Wednesday. You can come to the office and grab them. They will be available here at the church. But you'll have to just fill out the information, give us your name, your email, and that information that's available on the card. Amen? So there's also two other titles, and they are available for distribution in Australia. So you can also pre-order those as well. Anyway, the Bible says in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 20. That book is right before the book of Revelation. And the message I have is a message for a church that is going through a time of decision. We are at the valley of decision. Like, God is showing His power. We are seeing signs and wonders, signs in the sky, signs, all around us. And so the question is, what are we going to do with all these signs, with all these messages? Are we going to follow the Lord? Are we going to pursue Him? Are we going to be sold out for Jesus? Are we going to let go of anything that is holding us back? Or are we going to live life as usual? Are we going to do business as usual? Are we going to live life the way we normally live it? And though we may be mature and may be knowledgeable and may be strong in some areas, if we are not renewing, and I want to say this from a prophetic perspective, if we are not renewing our faith every day, if we are not renewing our first love every day, we can get stuck. We can get a little bit rusty. We can get a little bit religious. And we need to start looking at the big picture, because God is trying to get our attention, isn't he? How many of you agree that God is trying to get your attention? How many of you know that God is trying to get your attention right now as we speak? Now, something magnificent happened last week, and honestly, I did see it as a sign, as a warning. And you're like, well, we have solar eclipses all the time, but that the way it happened, the way that, you know, shadowed and, you know, seven towns, and some people argue over technicalities. Well, not really, not really. Only two towns with the name of Nineveh. I mean, people will argue over the smallest things, right? But the thing is, God is trying to show his people this is a critical hour. And you know what the Holy Spirit told me after that happened? And I saw what happened on Monday. I call it the day of mockery. Monday morning, I saw pastors, leaders, I saw Christians, I saw believers, mature believers, I saw strong believers mocking what happened on Sunday. And my spirit was grieving, literally I was grieving. And I asked the Lord, and I said, Lord, what does this mean? And God said, I gave them the sign of Jonah. I gave them a sign to repent, and they completely ignored it, and they were oblivious to it. But God's plan, end times design, has nothing to do with America. America's not the epicenter of God's end times clock. You have to understand that Israel is the epicenter. So here we are. Hello? Here we are a week later, right? Here we are, and we are dealing with a major conflict. Not just a conflict, but we're dealing with something that could become a war, that could become a global war. And you got to understand, we are living in the times where we need to be so sharp and so precise. And we need to, those who have ears in the spirit, listen to what the Lord is saying to the church. Because this is a time to renew our faith. This is not a time to be, you know, to be half-hearted. This is not a time to just have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. This is not a time to compromise. This is not a time to even think about compromising. This is a time to be fully on board with what God is doing in the hour. Come on. God wants us to have our, you know, our tanks full and ready. And we need to be loaded with the oil from heaven. And the message I want to speak today is a message for the church to understand the times that we're living in. But the Bible says, but you beloved, verse 20, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and to eternal life. Then it says, verse 22, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. How many of you want exceeding joy? To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be the glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So number one, God wants the church in this hour to build themselves in the holy faith. You got to understand, we are living in a time where your faith is going to be attacked. Your faith is going to be targeted. Whatever you believe, because there's so much talk and so much confusion and so much going on and so many voices. And we have so many prophetic amateurs, you know, on TikTok, people releasing words, people that are releasing words on Facebook and social media, prophets that have not been vetted or tested, and they're saying things that are not even biblical, that don't even have any connection or any remote connection with the book of Revelation or with the patterns or the teachings or what God is saying in this hour. And so we need to listen carefully to what God is saying to us. We need to listen carefully to what God is saying to the church. We need to have a prayer life. We need to listen from God. Come on, somebody. We need to listen from the Holy Spirit. We need to listen from the Holy Spirit, because we can either become a little bit sarcastic, or we can become pragmatic, or we can become, we can become a little bit, cynical. And God wants the church to have everything ready in this hour. We got to be ready, because the coming days are going to test the faith of many. The coming hour is going to shake many to the very core. There's a shaking coming where only the ones that are strongly rooted in the Word of God, that know their foundation, that know their love, that they know who they are in Christ, they're going to be standing. Because the coming hour, it's going to be a difficult time. Even, the Bible says, if possible, the elect will be deceived. So we can't hear everybody at this point. We can't listen to every prophetic voice, wild imagination, or every wild word that has been released on social media and take it as gospel. We need to have discernment in this hour. And we need to take it before the Father and say, God, are you speaking? Is this you speaking? Or is this somebody having just a wild imagination? Or is this just another word? So many people spoke about 3 days of darkness, which that's actually linked to a word that was given to a monk or a Catholic priest back in the day. So that was a word that came from the Catholic Church. And yet all of this stuff. And I'm like, where is the discernment? Hello? And then some people were saying, oh, the rapture is going to happen. The Bible says nobody knows the hour. Nobody knows the time. Nobody knows the date. Nobody knows. Only our Heavenly Father knows. Come on. Not even Jesus. But see, this moment is so critical for us to keep our hearts healthy. Come on. We gotta keep our hearts healthy. Otherwise, we become cynical. Otherwise, we become critical. Otherwise, we become like the others. We start, the Bible says there will be a day where many scoffers will come. Many will scoff, and they will mock around, and they will be critical. God wants the church to basically lock their eyes on Jesus and Jesus alone. Come on, somebody. You've got to lock your faith on Jesus and Jesus alone. Come on. You got to understand who you are in Christ. You got to have a strong foundation in this hour. Because if you don't have a strong foundation, what's coming to the world is going to make you even doubt what you've been believing for so long. Hello? And that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to bring fear and doubt and anxiety, because he's the author of fear. And so if you are afraid about the coming days, then my question is, what are you hiding from God? Hello? Because I'm not afraid of the coming days, because if you have a life of accountability and you are accountable before the Lord and you're standing before the Lord, and if anything were to happen in this world, you know, if you just pass out and you go to be with the Lord, you know there's nothing that you are afraid of. You are accountable before God. You know that you are accountable, so you have no fear. Come on, somebody. But if you're afraid of the coming days, and you're biting your nails, and you're watching the news, and you're like, oh my gosh, oh, things are coming, you know, to an end. Like, oh, things are really looking bad. You got to put on your prophetic glasses, and you got to look at all of these events from a prophetic angle, and say, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come on, somebody. You got to pray in the Spirit. You got to understand that this world that we're living in is a temporary house for us. I am not afraid of what comes tomorrow. I know that my Redeemer lives, and my Redeemer will come through. Come on. I know. Come on, church. I know that my Redeemer
my Redeemer.
So we got to have an eternal perspective. We got to have a prophetic perspective. We got to have a discernment, sharp. We got to be like eagles, you know. We got to see in the spirit beyond the circumstances right now. Because if you deal with anxiety, you got to lay that down. Hello? You got to lay it down. Because the days that are coming will make you more anxious. If you're dealing with anxiety, you got to lay it down. You got to die to anxiety. If you're dealing with mental problems, you got to lay that down and ask the Lord to set you free. Because the day and the hour that's coming upon the world is very dark and very critical and very difficult. But those that are going to see the glory of the Lord, they will remain standing. They will shine even in times of darkness. Come on, somebody. They will shine even in times of great, great chaos. Come on. I'm believing that. I'm believing that we will shine. You know what I'm telling everyone, all of our friends and partners and intercessors? I tell him, no matter what happens tomorrow, we are going to have the greatest revival in history. We're going to have people lining up to come into our church buildings. They're going to be begging. They'll be like, let me in. They'll be lining up on a Tuesday morning. There will be a huge line. Remember, mark these words. People will be lining up to come into the church buildings because they will be desperate and they will want to know what in the world is going on. And you and I have the answer because we know Jesus. Come on. We know Jesus. And if we know Jesus, hallelujah. So keep building your faith. Now, what are some of the enemies of the faith, right? Number one, fear. You got to knock that fear down in Jesus' name. How many of you are afraid of what's coming tomorrow?
Hey, the devil has no fear over us.
Correct. Somebody's awake. Hello? Somebody had more coffee than I had. Come on. We got to understand the times that we're living in. So fear is the number one enemy of faith, right? Fear is the opposite of faith. Am I correct in saying that? So we got to knock fear down. I'm not afraid because I know my Redeemer lives. I'm not afraid because I know He will come back. I don't know when, but I know He will return. I'm not afraid because while I'm here, I'm going to rule and I'm going to make a difference. And I'm going to make a difference. I'm not going to sit around. I'm going to be a Gideon. I'm going to be a Jeremiah. I'm going to be a Nehemiah. I'm going to be a Deborah. Come on, somebody. I'm going to make a difference in this world. I'm not going to sit around. I'm not going to go under my bed, cry, and bite my nails because I'm afraid of what may happen tomorrow. I know that the world is getting dark and darker, but I know that my prophetic destiny is far greater than anything that's happening in this world. Come on, shout hallelujah. I know that my prophetic destiny is far greater. When I understand who I am, I remember one time when I had malaria. And I was in Nigeria, and after doing a pastor's conference, I was taken to this, hospital. It was not even a hospital. It was a house. You know, they call it a hospital. And the only doctor that was there, he was treating me for food poisoning. Later on, he came to find out that I was not dealing with food poisoning. I was dealing with malaria. And I was dying. I had a couple of blankets on me. I was shivering. I was shaking really bad. I had a fever that the likes I've never experienced before. It was awful. How many of you have experienced, COVID, the COVID fever or the malaria fever? It's unbelievable. You feel like your body is going to blow out. Like, literally, the fever is so intense. You feel like you're dying on the inside. And you're burning up, but on the inside, you are so cold that no matter if they put 7-10 blankets on you, it doesn't make a difference. So I had like 7 blankets on me, and I was shivering, and this doctor just kept coming back, and he kept like poking me with stuff and injecting me and helping me and, giving me medication, and nothing was making a difference. Nothing was making a dent. And guess what? 3 a.m. in the morning, I saw the angel of the Lord standing by my bed. He was standing by my bedside. He was standing right next to me. He grabbed my hand. He smiled, and he said, "It shall be all right." That's what he said. It'll be all right. In that moment when he held my hand, all the symptoms went like that. Just in 1 second. Come on. It shall be well. No, actually, he said, it shall be well. In that moment, the presence of God came on me. The fever disappeared. The aching disappeared. All the symptoms disappeared. Every symptom I had disappeared. And I recovered in 48 hours. Supernaturally. You know what it takes to recover from malaria? 2 weeks. Some missionaries will tell you that it takes 2 weeks to recover from malaria. I recovered in 48 hours. I was living in Melbourne at that point, and I was on a plane heading down to Melbourne 48 hours later. They had to wheel me, obviously. They wheeled me in a wheelchair, took me to the gate because I was so weak, you know. I had just been through the worst time of my life, yet God came through. He gave me a word. I believe God's giving you a word this afternoon, and the word is, it shall be well. The word is, I'm your provider. The word is, I'm going to overcome. The word is, I will open the doors. The word is, the word for you this evening or this afternoon is, God will make a way. Come on, church. God will make a way. Don't be afraid of sickness. Don't be afraid of the coming darkness. Don't be afraid of the coming hour. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen in this world, because God is going to use the church as a megaphone to preach the gospel. Amen. I really believe it. I sense in my spirit we are going to see the greatest awakening. And did you know that God has a plan for this nation? Did you know that a Smith Wigglesworth prophesied and said that before the return of Christ, Australia was going to be known for the greatest revival in history? Did you know that? So I was in Bradford, UK, and I got to preach in his church. It was really cool. His great-granddaughter is alive, and she's got an incredible ministry. And she opened this church in 2019. And there's a story to that, and I'm not going to go into that because it's a long story. But anyway, she opened this church. I believe God is reopening the ancient wells. Oh, no, you're not hearing me. I said, God is reopening the ancient wells in this hour. And those places that God visited long ago, I believe, Adelaide, the only reason you guys are called the city of churches is because God moved here back in the days, and God is about to move again. Come on, you believe it or not? So you got to understand, God is doing a new thing. He's writing a new chapter. And the new chapter is about reopening the ancient wells. So I went back to this church. I preached for her. I'm connected to her son. He has a mega church in Johannesburg. And he's also related to Smith Wigglesworth. So anyway, I'm preaching for her. And the power of God was so thick in that building. It was a glory cloud. How many of you have experienced the glory cloud in your life? It's amazing. And I was standing behind the pulpit, and I was almost drunk. I'm telling you, I was like, I couldn't even put a lot of, I didn't know if it was jet lag, or if it was tiredness, or if I was just overwhelmed by the experience, but I was like drunk. I couldn't even preach. I couldn't even put my sermon together. And I just looked at her and I said, I think I'm going to have to get out of the stage because the anointing is so heavy here. I'm going to have to preach on the other side of the rail. You know, in those days, they had rails, right? So, like, the pulpit had a rail all around it. So I said, I'm going to have to preach outside the rail because on this side, I feel like I'm about to collapse under the anointing. Later on, I found out that all the preachers that came and visited that church ended up on the floor 2-3 hours weeping under the anointing, and they couldn't preach because the anointing was so heavy, because the pulpit that Smith Wigglesworth had 100 years ago was still in the building. Come on. And it was like the glory, literally, you got to understand this, the glory is like a magnet. And when something is exposed to the glory, it will become magnetized, right? like this place, this building. Why do you feel the anointing here? Because the worship here is so intense that the moment you walk into the house of the Lord, there is an anointing here that's like a magnet. This building is electrifying because there's an ancient well of revival in this house and it's about to burst open. So when you understand what God is doing in this hour, and so I stood outside and I preached for 45 minutes, and then I came back and again I was like, oh, this is too much, Lord. This is too much anointing. How many of you have said that before? Like, God, this is too much anointing. It's kind of funny, right? It's like, when can you say it's enough? Right? It's like, when can you say it's enough? God, this is too much anointing. And I literally saw miracles I haven't seen in 20 years of ministry. I saw Jesus healing the deaf. That day, almost, I think 15 people with hearing loss were healed in one night. It was unbelievable. Now, after that, she laid hands on me, and then I went down, and I hit the floor. Bang! It was time. It was about time. I couldn't hold it anymore. The presence of God healed me. I came back up, and I was like, I was refreshed, empowered. And after that evening, 2 or 3 years ago, I have seen not 20, not 30, not 100, not 200. I have seen hundreds of people with partial and total deafness healed in our meetings over the last 3 years. I have seen people come out of wheelchairs. I've seen incredible miracles, and I saw them before she prayed for me. But it was like I got an impartation. Can I tell you something? The day of the ancient wells and the day of new wells is here, and God is about to visit Adelaide all over again. God is about to move in this city all over again. So that the word for you tonight is build your faith. Hallelujah. Come on. Build your faith. Build your faith. Don't listen to the media. Don't listen to negative voices. Rejoice because your day is here. Rejoice because Jesus, yes, he will come back soon. We don't know the hour, the time, but we are not looking at these signs and biting our nails and hiding in our closet and wishing the world will come to an end. No, we are not. We are God's army in this hour. We are God's people in this hour. We have an answer. Come on, somebody. We have the gospel. The gospel. Last October, I was holding a crusade, and it was so powerful. This crusade was just so powerful. Hundreds of people, thousands. We had about 20,000 people in the stadium, right? This was in Venezuela. The first night, power of God swept through. Amazing things happened. Second day, I'm expecting the same miracles or even greater. And guess what happened? The power went out. So here I am dealing with a stadium of 20,000 people and no power. And I'm like, God, how am I going to continue this crusade? We have no power. And I'm standing near this leader from the Go Movement. The Go Movement is an evangelistic movement. They do a lot of work all over the world. Last year, they mobilized over 100 million believers to share the gospel during the Go Month and during the Go Day. So I'm standing near Werner Nachtigall. He's a very tall German, 6.8. I'm like 5.6. So he's like the giant and I'm the David, you know? We're standing together. Sometimes I feel like the David when I'm standing near some of these pastors that are like 6 point something, you know. And then he says, brother, he goes, we are not going anywhere. We're staying here and we're going to preach the gospel. I'm like, Werner, how are we going to preach the gospel? I mean, you may have the voice to scream your lungs out, because you've done it out in the streets before. I was a street preacher, but I don't think I can even get to that point. And he's like, we will stay here until we see our breakthrough. Anyways, he inspired me. And I said, all right, we'll stay here. And one pastor said, well, I can get a generator for a little plant, maybe just a power plant to work so you can preach. Believe it or not, when we told the crowd, I mean thousands of people, we told them because they were cheering, they were worshiping, they were carrying on, they were shouting, Jesus, Jesus, for 45 minutes nonstop. This is the kind of hunger. This is the kind of hunger that we had in that place. And people were shouting at the top of their lungs, Jesus is alive. Anyway, guess what happened? Guess what happened? We managed to have an altar call. Thousands came down. They left the bleachers. They all came down. They were standing there in the thousands. We had the biggest salvation call that day. Almost 2,000 souls came to Jesus. We did not give up. We kept going and we preached the gospel and we saw incredible miracles. Can I tell you something? The time where the church is going to see the greatest harvest is now. Now tomorrow, you probably thought, God did some incredible things yesterday. But the hour for the church to understand that God is about to move is now. Come on, somebody. So number one, build your faith. Number two, keep your love in Christ. Don't abandon your first love. I don't care how many years you've been in church and how many angels you have seen and how many heavenly encounters you've had. You know, the more reason you have to be in love with Christ. Hello? I met some believers that have been, 20, 30 years in church, and they're not walking in the supernatural. They're not walking in the power of God because they have become cynical. They have become a little bit, rusty. They have become a little bit like, no, I know it all. I've been there. I've done that. Oh, yeah, I've been to Bill Johnson. I've been to Bethel. I've been this. I've been here. I've been there. I've been everywhere. If you become like that in this hour, you are basically losing sight of what God wants to do in your life. God doesn't want you to lose that first love. No matter if you've been with the Lord for 30 years, you got to love Him like the first day when you met Him. You got to love Him like the first day when you came to Christ and you laid down your life and you were on the floor for hours worshiping Jesus. Come on, somebody. You got to love Him like the first day when you met Him. How many of you here, when you met Him, you gave Him everything? Raise your hand. How many of you, when you met Him the first time, you were preaching 24/7? You were witnessing. Many people say, well, I'm too good for that. Well, that's rubbish. Hello? Can I tell you as an evangelist, if you tell me you're too good to share the gospel, well, shame on you. Hello? Oh, that's harsh, Pastor Arias. That's harsh. No. Jesus spent time with the tax collectors. Jesus spent time with the sinners. Jesus spent time with people that were hopeless. Jesus spent time with the wealthy. He spent time with even, the last moment. I was watching the Passion, and it was great because, when you watch the Passion during Easter, it's kind of a reminder of what Jesus did and what He has done. And, you're reminded. How many of you watched the Passion? I never get tired of watching it. And the last moment when He's taking His last breath, He is evangelizing somebody who was, a sinner, somebody who did a lot of awful things in his life, He is witnessing, sharing the gospel. And this guy says, can you remember me when you go into the kingdom? And God said to him, Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise today. Jesus, His love reaches people everywhere, anytime. We just have to be available. We can't be too good to share the gospel. This is the hour where God is raising an army of people that will walk in the glory, that will see the supernatural, that will walk in their gifting, yet they will become messengers of the gospel. Come on, somebody. This is an hour where God is going to use, He's going to use everyone. Joel chapter 2 verse 28 is here. The Holy Spirit will be poured upon all flesh. The Bible says, the young men and women will see visions. Children shall prophesy. And the old men and old women, they will what? Dream dreams. So I don't know what age category you fall under, hello? But just smile and say, I'm going to receive that. Come on, come on. How many of you received that? God is going to use everyone in this hour. You're not going to be there like watching it, an expectator like, yeah, whatever. I'll get there when I get there. No, Jesus is going to use you in this hour. He's going to show you his glory in this hour. So I need you to understand that we got to fall back in love with Jesus. We got to fall back in love with righteousness. We got to fall back in love with the message of holiness. Come on. This is a prophetic word God gave me in 2023. And I'm going to read it because I think it really speaks to the church. Are you ready for this? I've said this in many, many places, many countries. The Lord has opened doors in more than 50-something nations around the world where we've been doing this, preaching the gospel, seeing the Lord healing the sick. And I don't get tired of seeing Jesus touching souls, because this is the hour where God is demanding of all of us to reach the lost. Come on, somebody. So my message today for the church, the Field of Dreams, the church in Adelaide is get a hold of the Great Commission. Get a hold of the first love. Get a hold of the prophetic word. Get a hold of the message that God is saying for this hour. Get a hold of your encounter with Jesus. Don't let it go. Times are about to be very challenging. Yet I want to remind you that Jesus is still on the boat and you are not going to drown, because Jesus is going to walk on the water with you. Come on and praise the Lord. He is going to walk. He is going to stand by your side, and you will see miracles. You believe that? So I was on the plane on the way from, actually I was in Adelaide. I was heading to Melbourne. I was going to do an end times, a New Year's Eve service. And the Lord spoke to me this word. Thank you, Jesus. Are you enjoying this? Yes. Are you ready for miracles?
Yes.
Do you believe God can do it?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. We honor you. We praise you. Here we go. This is a prophetic word God gave me. So I was on the plane, you know, the pilot was announcing, and I find that in Australia, pilots don't talk very much. No, I'm not being funny. In America, pilots and flight attendants are almost like comedians. Hello? That's the difference between Australia and America when you fly. I mean, have you seen the TikTok videos on Southwest? There's an airline called Southwest Airlines. Have you seen the TikTok videos? How these flight attendants literally entertain the audience. And like, they are so hilarious, right? And sometimes they just talk too much. I even get annoyed. I'm like, come on, just let me, you know, let me work on my stuff, or let me think. You know, I just want to sit here and think or pray or whatever. So anyway, I'm going to Melbourne. It was New Year's Eve. And the pilot just kept going on and carrying on and carrying on. I'm like, this guy doesn't sound like a pilot from here. For some reason, it was like, this guy is just talking too much. But then the Lord broke through that. Now, I was thinking, when is he going to shush? Because I just want to, you know, I just want to think about the service. I want to take some notes. I was going to preach that night, but he could just kept going on and on and on about New Year's Eve. And then the Lord broke through all the distraction, and the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he said. Are you ready? This will be the year of apostolic collaboration, and the apostolic evangelistic anointing to be released upon the church to walk in their destiny. This will be a year of pruning and cleansing, a year of greater cleansing and deep reckoning. The old will fade away, and the new will spring up. I will complete the cycle, and this year will be the year of completion. A new guard of evangelists, pastors, prophets, and apostles are being called for a new era of ministry. Many will be decommissioned, and many will be celebrated in heaven. Many will be exposed, and many will be purified. my church, my dear people, I'm calling you to a higher level of purity, commitment, and surrender. My purifying fire will cleanse my church, and this will prepare my people for the great awakening. The great awakening cannot be sustained with the ideas and the strategies of the past. This is a different time and a different era. It will be very challenging but rewarding at the same time. I'm calling my people to greater accountability, and this will be enabled by my grace working in and through them. Darkness will cover the planet, and deep darkness the nations that have forgotten me. In the midst of all these events, I will shine my torch upon my anointed ones. They will shine even brighter and will overcome by the power of my spirit. The time of apathy and being lukewarm is coming to an end. I will shake the financial and political mountains, and there will be great noise in the sea, and the earth will shake more than the previous years. The weight of sin and abomination has reached a level that can no longer go unnoticed. I will shake the peoples and the nations of the earth. In the midst of all these tremors, there will be waves of revival sweeping entire regions and nations. The biggest harvest is here, and many will reach the valley of decision. There will be great instability and chaos in the streets. But fear not, my people, because I will redeem these times, and millions will hear the gospel. There will be unexpected changes that will bring many to a place of surrender. My people, these are not times to rely on your own strength, but rely on me. January 1st, I was flying back to the States, flying back home. We stopped in Hawaii. And then we heard something, you know, that day there was an earthquake, I believe in Japan. You remember that day? So there was an earthquake. And God spoke to me and said, as it is in the natural, it will be in the supernatural. I spoke to you about days of great shaking. Those days are here. God is exposing a lot of stuff right now. God is about to expose big names in the coming days. Ever since what we saw, and I'm not going to say names, but what we are seeing right now, some big ministries profiles are being exposed right now. There's a big evangelist, big pastor, who has a very big church, and I call that cultural Christianity. His name is being mentioned in a lawsuit right now that is a very, very critical lawsuit, because if his ministry is exposed, millions will feel the shaking of that. God is moving in this hour, but he's not going to tolerate nonsense. He's not going to tolerate nonsense. He's calling his people to greater righteousness. He's calling his people to greater holiness. We have a great church in Orlando. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Jesus Image. The message of Michael Koulianos over the last 12 months has been righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. God is calling his church to greater righteousness. I want you to pray in the spirit right now. Say, Lord, examine my heart. Lord, whatever that I have in my heart, in my soul, maybe some emotional ties, maybe some spiritual ties, maybe some stuff that needs to go, I let it go. I let it go. I choose to let go of pain. I choose to let go of any hidden, unconfessed sin. I choose to let go of any pain, any resentment, any bitterness, anything that's holding me back. God, I know that you will baptize me with fresh fire. God is moving in this hour. He is moving in this hour. You know, even in times of great crisis, he will move again. When George Floyd, you know, when he was killed, remember that in those days? Everybody went to the streets. There were riots, and the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, rose to the spotlight. People were just shouting and screaming, and they were going on, carrying on in the streets. There was great chaos, yet God chose a man by the name of Sean Foyd. He began to worship, and the Lord began to draw thousands of people to his worship rallies. There's a good friend of mine, Charles Kuruku from Africa. He's got a great church in Minneapolis, and he began to work with Sean, and they began to do worship rallies. God was moving the hearts of thousands, and people were getting baptized in water after their worship rallies. Thousands were going in the water. You know, God will move again. 3 years ago, a church in Dawsonville, Georgia, a name that many people don't even know where that town is, God began to move in that town. 3 years later, 39,000 people have been baptized in water because of the revival that has taken place in Dawsonville, Georgia. You can look it up on Google, the North Georgia Revival. You can look it up. You know, Todd Smith, he's also a good friend, and we were in Milwaukee last week. We were preaching together, and God is moving. I'm telling you, he's moving in this hour. And there's going to be a baptism of fire, and there's going to be a baptism in the Spirit. Both are going to happen at the same time. Are you ready to be baptized in fire? Are you ready to be baptized in fire? We're going to pray for you. I don't know what's going to happen, but I want you to just come here with an expectation. Because the fire that God is going to bring on you will purify, will get rid of any sickness and pain. So are you ready? Let's worship the Lord. Come on. Raise your hands and pray in the Spirit.